Blog Talk Radio.
Looks like we're shy of one horse.
You brought two too many.
Thank you.
looking pretty good when Dave Storer sold number 9. Good evening, good evening, good evening, and welcome. Welcome to another edition of Soul Tree Radio and the Raw. I'm your host, Michael Lewis Ingram, and as always, it's good to have you in the house. Soul Tree Radio and the Raw, proudly sponsored by BASNNewsroom.com and the Assassins of the Black Athlete Sports Network. Get all the good shit, the who, what, when, where, why, and how, right now, at www.BASNNewsroom.com. Shout out to the members of the Brother Man Network, wherever they may be, as they are getting together here and whatnot. But as many of you are, and as probably some of they are, watching the playoffs, and we've been entertained for the most part. We've seen some good basketball, and we've seen some guy named Jimmy Walker play with a little bit of dynamite. And it's like Jimmy Walker, who he is the question. And around this time of year, we get a lot of who he's, because it's the time of the unsung hero. We have our own unsung hero, Gary Norris Gray, bad man from the East Bay in the house. What's up, G?
Go New York, go New York, go!
Well, they are going. The Knicks, they look decent. And you've seen some pretty good ball, but
what happened the other day with Mr. Walker, the boys?
Yep.
The Golden State Warriors are playing with house money.
Okay.
And when you play with house money, you make bad calls.
All right.
Last to me is that game. They made 4 major mistakes.
Okay.
4, right?
Mm-hmm.
1, he didn't substitute correctly as the first one.
All right.
Second one was Draymond Green throwing it into the air as a rebound.
Okay.
The third one is the coaches not telling the players.
Yes.
Time out.
All right.
The fourth one is when the Golden State Warriors got the tap, Curry got the ball. It's a call time out. That's 4 major mistakes in less than a minute.
Well, look.
You can't do that.
It's playoff ball. And you make different decisions in the playoffs. We got Tony with us as well. And as I speak to my erstwhile younger brother, Tony, somebody like a Jimmy Walker comes along and does what he does, and it's disquieting to some because the opposition is like, who the fuck is this kid? And it's amazing to others because it's like, all right, where did he come from? Which is it more like? Where did he come from, or who is this kid?
Probably a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. Because if I remember correctly, he didn't get a whole lot of playing time during the season, if I remember correctly. But you know, maybe in retrospect, because you didn't have all the scouting reports and all the data and all this other stuff like you do now, maybe it was more of a, who the hell is he sort of deal. But with that being said, you know, we've seen this happen a lot in pro sports, in college sports and everything else. I know people, you know, folks of a different generation may remember Buddy Biancalana from the 1985 World Series for the Kansas City Royals. And again, he wasn't the MVP of that series, but, you know, he came out of literally and figuratively came, you know, out of nowhere. I was thinking, and this might be a bit of a stretch, maybe possibly Larry Brown when the Cowboys beat the Steelers a few years back, although it's kind of tough when the guy is basically throwing you the ball right in your hands. So,
you think? I mean,
yeah.
Imagine Gary out there and they throw the ball right to Gary. He doesn't have to move the wheels in the wheelchair. Just catch the ball and go.
Yeah.
I mean,
pretty much.
It's that easy.
Yeah, yeah. I was trying to think of some other ones in other different sports. Now, I guess we see a lot of that in the NHL. I'm gonna date myself again. Remember when the then Minnesota North Stars made a run to the finals? I think they wound up losing to the Islanders when Islanders were winning the second of their fourth straight. Remember Dino Cicerelli? Dino Cicerelli had like 20 something goals during that playoff.
The star was Bill Goldsworthy, and Cicerelli came out of nowhere. If we're going to match up with hockey, who can forget poor Bobby Boucher? And I don't mean the water boy. I mean the goaltender for my Philadelphia Flyers, who helped the Flyers overcome a 3-0 deficit to beat the big bad Boston Bruins. To my recollection, that's the only time that's happened in any series ever in hockey.
Well, I can get I know we've seen a lot of 3-1s, but 3-0, I think that might be. I want to say the Maple Leafs of 42, but I think they were 3-1. I think they were 3-1 instead of
three comebacks for 3-1.
Okay.
In the NHL.
Three zero.
Oh, okay. Because I can swear there's been a bunch of 3-1. I can swear there's been
a
bunch
of
3-1.
I remember the Islanders playing against the Pittsburgh Penguins, and the Penguins went out 3-1 on them, and the Icelanders hit them with some leftover fish sticks, and next thing you know, they in the
They won that game 7-1-0, and there's a famous shot of, I forget who the Flyers player was, but he hit the post, and at the end of game 7, Glenn Chico Resch kisses the goalpost as they're celebrating and it's funny. They came, what people forget is they were down 3-1 the next series, but they wound up losing, and they made the comeback, but they lost game 7. I forget who they lost to. It was that same playoff, because this was in 75, 76, I think it was 75. It was 75, because see, the whole thing that year was they knocked off the Rangers in overtime. This was back when I guess they had the two. I think it was the early round.
They were playing Buffalo.
It was either Buffalo or Boston. You know, it might have been Buffalo because I think Buffalo wound up
Buffalo
to be
because Flyers. Flyers went back-to-back.
Back-to-back, that's right, that's right, that's right. And see, back then, they didn't have it, they didn't do it conference-wise. It was strictly one, you know, it was strictly one
team.
Yeah, yeah, it wasn't East-West. It was one played 16, two played 15. You know, it was
right.
for about a 4 or 5 year stretch, they did it straight, because I seem to remember, the Islanders that year basically didn't go, I mean, the farthest, you know, that Pittsburgh series was as far as west as they went.
Seventy-five
or 76, I think, because the Flyers went back to back 75 and 76, right?
Matter of fact,
yeah, you're right, Mike. 75, they beat Buffalo because they beat the Bruins for the first cup.
Right.
And then I remember the fog game in Buffalo where they didn't
Buffalo,
have heat
at the old
odd. Was that the game where the bat flew on the ice?
Yes, they killed the bat.
Yeah. Yeah, that was NBC Peter Puck days, if I remember correctly.
No shit, poor bat. But other
man,
than that,
it's only because I don't have a life, Gary. So
But that said, you can't think about baseball in Boston without hearing the name Brian Doyle and Bucky fucking Dent.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
well, more so Dent in Boston, because Dent got hurt in the playoff against was Kansas 78, Kansas City. Let me take that back. He was playing for Willie Randolph that got hurt.
Yes.
And Bucky Dent. Yeah. It was a very young Willie Randolph was out, and Doyle hit with the force of 10 men. He hit like 500 during the series.
Yeah, 9 hits or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He went crazy that series. I'm thinking of another one in baseball now. Again, this is going back. Now, everybody, I guess, remembers the 51 Giants because you took it right out of my mouth. Dusty Rhodes, as a pinch hitter, I think. Matter of fact, I think he won game one with a pinch hit home run. And then
I'm
sure. And again, this is just top of my head stuff. I think if I really sat down and went through all the four major sports, you could probably find a few more. The postseason / playoffs. There's always one or two folks that come out of nowhere. To a certain extent, remember when Michigan, I'll say this while Patrick is not on the air, make sure. when Michigan made their run under Steve Fisher, Bill, God, what was the guy he replaced? Oh, I can see him now because he always looked angry and like he had to take a shit. I can't remember his name.
Oh, the guy was the Indianapolis and Purdue. He did Purdue too, right?
That's Gene Keady. That's Gene Keady. Gene Keady, who kept half of Hitler's haircut for many, many years. I can't think of that Michigan coach because he wound up. Well, the thing was, he took the Arizona State job just before the start of the he took the job and it got leaked, and Bo Schembechler was so over. He said, "We're not having the Arizona State head coach here at Michigan." Bill Frieder. Bill Frieder, and then Steve Fisher. He still holds that mark. Even though it was only 5 wins, he's still one of the few first year head coaches that won. But to get back to that, everybody remembers Ramil Robinson, hitting the free throws that win it off of a pretty bogus call versus Seton Hall. But Glenn Rice probably made his, put himself in the NBA.
Exactly.
He went crazy during the postseason, and he basically became a lottery. It became a lottery pick after that.
He did. And she said, "I'm going to give him some ass, I betcha." And she did.
And he hasn't been the same since.
Gentlemen, unfortunately, I have to quell the liberty for now and bring up something that really is burning my ass. Now, during this time, of course, TV's on, the commercials are on, they're selling you stuff. Okay, fine, sell me stuff. But don't disrespect me. It's like black wallets need to be respected. They need love too. And I've seen some stuff lately which has turned my stomach. Apparently,
Steph Curry and
Kevin Hart have done a series of commercials. I think it was for Chase Bank. I might have been mistaken when I went all today into the American Express. But the whole point is, start out kind of harmless. Kevin Hart says, I bought the team, talking about this fictitious franchise. And they give the team a name too, the Cash, they didn't say Cash Money Brothers, but they could have. But all that's good. But anyway, they come to a third commercial. And this one is like a press conference. In this simulated press conference, they make fun of the fact that Allen Iverson was raked over the coals about practice. It's an infamous one here in Philly. Iverson goes on and on about practice. Not a game, but practice. And of course, they got in his ass for quite a little bit, but when the whole story was told, it seems like everyone quietly forgot that an extended member of Iverson's family in Circle died with a close friend. And he was basically giving the Laura Ingraham shut the fuck up and dribble. And it's like, wait a minute. So the theme told practice is like, shut up, nigga. I don't give a fuck who you are. Go do your job. Ironically, as this commercial was being shown, Kevin Hart is, of course, is playing a fool. And I've never been crazy about it. there have been guys like Chris Rock, Eddie Griffin, you know, Cat Williams. I love what they stand for, and they're smart. But Kevin Hart has always come off as too much of a jester to play off the fact that, what are you doing? I don't like what you're doing. And he was consistent with this. You know, yes, they kept saying, cash back.
There's an East Coast version and a West Coast version of that commercial.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know,
but... The West Coast version has Stephen Curry in it.
Well, no, they're both in it. I know that. But the fact that they went this far to trash Iverson when it was a situation where how could you take an episode of a man's personal life and degrade him like that? I don't know about you guys, but I felt degraded just watching it. So,
Michael, I want you guys to think about this. 2019, I wrote this down just to make sure I got it right.
Yeah.
2019, most of the commercials were 50-50, black, white, Asian, Latino. 2019.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
2020 and 2021 is a massive shift of black and Latino people in the commercials.
Okay.
I don't know if you noticed it or not, but I noticed it January, February. What are you doing?
Well, it's not that I noticed it.
The answer is they want your money. They don't get out of getting. They want your money, period.
Look, it's somewhat not new. No, I shouldn't say it's not new, but it's, let's face it, they've always wanted our dollars, but they never wanted our cents, so to speak.
Right. That's right. And then
even now, yeah, you see a few more folks, you know, black folks in commercials, I know back in the day what they would always, like, you know, when the NBA finals would come up, see more like black oriented commercials, what have you. But see now, because you have so many of these specialized channels, a lot of the advertising sort of bleeds over in all of it. Because I watch a lot of the hockey, I watch it on TNT and ESPN, but I watch a lot of it also on TSN for folks in Canada,
yeah.
the sports network,
right.
and the CBC with a Hockey Night in Canada, and it's subtle differences. You'll see more, say, Tim Hortons commercials than you would say McDonald's or Wendy's, so to speak.
Yep.
You may see more. What's something else that's granted, there are a lot of American businesses that are over in Canada. And again, it's not like you're going over to the dark side and when you go to
right.
Canada or whatever. But it's subtle differences more than anything else.
Yeah.
And yeah. And see also, and I don't think I'm offending anyone when I say this. Especially now, you're starting to see more LGBT. I always mess those letters up.
Oh, a lot more.
Oh, yeah. You know, a lot more commercials in that vein. And you know, I watch a lot of sports with the sound down. I'm actually watching the Knicks game now with the sound down because I'm on with you guys. But winning Miami if you can for once. But it's weird how even after all these years they're still somewhat high schoolish in what they sell and how they try to sell and who the people they try to sell.
Gary,
that's just during non-Christmas time. Now you watch TV basically from Thanksgiving on, as opposed to the first, say, 11 months of the year. I mean, it's night and day. There's an old book, I can't remember the name of the author, and it's called Subliminal Seduction.
Okay.
And it basically now this book came out in the 60s, and it just basically goes into how we're sold, how we're sold stuff, what we're being sold, how it's being sold to us.
This is what got me really pissed off. I read this stuff at McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's. Those products will kill you if you keep eating them. They will kill you.
Well, they're not caring about killers. What I find most offensive is how they insult black consumers. And if you knew the story of what happened to Iverson, to make him go off on that tangent about practice, and of course, how WIP in Philadelphia, 94.1, those cocksuckers. If you know the lengths that they went to try to defame him, to save Howard Eskin's job, you'd know that there was something foul afoot. I got the professor with us as well.
Michael, I got to tell you a story. 3 years ago, on the internet, and that came up on the internet, YouTube.
All right.
My friends started laughing. I said, wait, hold up. What are you laughing at? Oh, I laughed at breakfast. I said, do you know what this really means, what it really meant? No. So I tell the story. I know exactly how I do it, about what happened. And I said, if you ever laugh at that again, I'm going to kick your butt. And he said, oh, okay. And then
it was the fact that they went out of their way to try to make Iverson look bad, like he was the person who had the problem. You know, it wasn't one of those deals where he was mourning. You know, when Kevin Hart fucked with the Jewish community and the Grammys were about, everybody was like, well, you must apologize for what you said about the Jews. And it's like, what the fuck?
And Mike, wouldn't you think somebody who's from Philly would be more sensitive or realize that as well?
Thank you. He knew better. He knew better, and they went on their way to continue the, how can I say, push the nonsense and make Iverson a bad guy. And, of course, Iverson was treated not soon after that incident came about. But, again, it's about black consumers. It's about going back to the days of Tony Brown's Journal and talking about the buying power that black people have and how it's not respected. You're not respecting the black dollar for what it's worth. And the only way to have that respect is to keep that wallet in your pocket. You know, and whatever bank it was, go kiss your ass and fuck off. Because Kevin Hart is just playing the fucking nigga for these people. And I hate it. I hate when somebody knows better. You want to make your money? I got no beef with that. Make your money. But there's a way how you can do it. And Kevin Hart is just another way of showing just how stupid and just how ignorant, not ignorant, but ignorant you really are. We got the professor in the room. Professor, what say you about all this? I agree.
Let me go ahead and put this out on Front Street. Most of the stuff that you're talking about, the lack of respect for the black dollar and all that kind of stuff, the nicest way I can say it is it's our own damn fault. We had black Wall Street. We had our own grocery stores. We couldn't wait to go shop at A&T and in New York, I think it was Dachshavite, which was a German, mostly German Jewish, German Jewish owned chain of grocery stores. We used to have Roses. We used to have, I used to work for Sears, so I know all the games they play. And at the end of the day, we sold ourselves out. You know, we sold our soul for rock and roll, what it boiled down to. We didn't want to go to black doctors who knew you and cared about you. You know, I remember going to an old doctor that was at was in Winston when I was in school, and he had his box. And you know, he had all his paperwork and all this other kind of stuff, but he had this box that was filled with index cards.
Right.
And you know what was on those index cards? The names and addresses of people who he had served who couldn't afford to pay him. They didn't have insurance. Oh. They have nothing. Mm-hmm. But he took care of them. Mm-hmm. And then when the stuff hit the fan, guess what? They went running up when they started getting these Medicare vouchers and stuff like that. They wouldn't come to him. They didn't come to his son or his daughter. Mm-hmm. They went to white folk. Mm-hmm. And it goes back to the white man's salt being salted, the sugar is sweeter. The water is redder.
Yep.
The works. Mm-hmm. And we have done so much of this to ourselves. You know, I'm in a battle with some people at our church right now. We pick up food for our food bank from Food Lion, but everybody talks about, including my pastor, talks about his favorite store is Walmart. My contention is support people who support you. These people give us $40,000-$50,000 worth of food a year. That all we got to do is go pick it up. I get this 10 cents cheaper. One of the reasons I don't, when I hear people talking about blacks being chosen and we're the ones who should be in Israel and all that, one of the things that I look at, say maybe that's not right. But the very thing I look at is the fact that we should be functioning the way Jews do. A Jew will pay another Jew an extra dollar, but he won't pay you
right.
an extra dollar.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
They take care of their own. They support people who support them. We don't do that. And it's so bad that, you know, they talk about food deserts. I look at the street, main street that runs through my quarter of the of town. They closed one of these shops to do, like, they used to have, we made the news, we had a sign up that says Blunts and Munchies.
Okay.
It's across the street from one. Matter of fact, there are 7 black churches surrounding this corner where this store was located. It went out of business about 2 or 3 months ago. But along that highway, there is no place to get from the time you leave the corner of Merchant Road. You got 2 stores that sell gas. From there all the way past Denver State University, all the way downtown, you can't get no gas. This is roughly 3.5-4 miles. You can't get no gas along the highway. There used to be a Walmart. There used to be a Walmart community store down at the corner from where I live. They closed and won't let nobody else in. These people got money from the city and the county to put a store there. And when they started closing stores, because this place had no numbers, they just closed it down. And it's been closed 5 or 6 years now. And they said, well, how can that be advantageous to them? Well, if you know the tax laws, that's a deductible situation. That's a loss.
Hmm.
So, and all these things that we profess to know, you know, the buses run past Fayetteville State every hour. Guess who hardly use it? I know one professor that uses the bus. There's one guy, he uses it sometimes, but he's blind, and he prefers to walk. And then a school with 5,000 students, you might see 5, on a real good day, 10 students going in or coming back and forth to school. So, you know.
That's embarrassing.
And see our beloved leaders, both Democrats and Republicans, this is what I tell y'all, these people in bed together, especially the white ones. So all this stuff you wanna say, well, it's not right. It's not right because we don't make it right.
Right.
And you know, because I remember when I was growing up, there was Mr. Miller had a store, Mr. King had a store, Mr. West had a store, and every time people want out working the field or whatever, you go to the store closest to you, that was okay. My thing was, Mr. West's son was one of my, is still to this day, one of my best friends. He had never did, you know, the only time he ran you out of his store, he called you stealing.
Yeah, you're right.
The white folks at the other 2 stores, I remember seeing the sign, we don't serve Negroes. I remember the sign, we don't serve colors.
I believe that.
Yeah.
Well,
and these people lived in the community with us who wouldn't, you know, if the ladies were in there, the guys couldn't go in it because they wouldn't wait on them.
Right.
Michael,
hold on, Gary, hold on.
27 square, 30 square miles. And you go to Oakland, someplace to Oakland, and not the Safeway or Walgreens or nothing for miles.
Well, I can believe that. But what I want to ask everybody.
Okay.
Yes.
Michael, on that subject, you do know that Walgreens, you know, in eastern areas, Walgreens bought out Rite Aid.
Yeah.
Oh shit!
Now, once upon a time, you have a service station on the major corners. Have a service station. You had a Walgreens. You had a Walgreens. You had a Rite Aid, a service station, and it may be something else, or it might be two gas stations on those corners. Well, Walgreens bought out Rite Aid, and they closed all the stores.
That's interesting because Walgreens is connected because of
the tax laws, they can get away with it for free.
Walgreens is connected to a company called LabCorp that's got to do with getting med stuff. And we got Reggie with us, but Tony, everybody in the thread, you've seen that piece I talked about with Chase Bank and that idiot Kevin Hart. Doesn't that make you angry seeing that nonsense, knowing that they're deliberately looking at the black dollar and laughing?
Ever since 2020, they've been aiming this thing directly at us.
And it's nothing new of them, you know, sort of infiltrating our culture to sell their goods, because it's funny to me how rap music is disdained and all this other stuff, but you look at a lot of these. There was a commercial, I guess they were pushing I want to say it was AARP commercial or something like that.
Yeah.
And they were using one of DMX's songs to sell something. I mean, it's crazy. You know,
Tony, you are a good Yankee young man with some Southern exposure. Explain how Snoop Dogg went from this atrocious overall, outsider guy to one of the biggest.
Remember, he had a running commercial with, of all people, I mean, the whitest of white women, Martha Stewart.
She got street cred now. She's been in prison. She got street cred.
Mary McLeod Stewart. Please.
Hey, she made friends with the sisters real quick when she got in there.
Yeah.
Look,
yeah,
they made
yeah.
me a scarf. They're so
yeah,
nice.
Yeah. yeah, yeah. Phyllis, yeah, yeah. Phyllis Wheatley Stewart. Yeah, yeah. I always get the two mixed up. It's impossible for me to differentiate between the two. But
here's my question, gentlemen. It goes right back to what y'all talking about with different laws and different bills passed because these corporations can do this dastardly stuff. I just got to say, and Professor, I don't know if you know this one, our good friend James Clyburn down in South Carolina did the unforgiving sin, a walk across the aisle, and got some Republicans' help because they had a possibility of losing some seats in South Carolina's Democrat side, and Clyburn had to make sure that his seat was safe. So he colluded with the boys and said, hey, now, if young folks out there see this and it's now public, who in the hell wants to vote? They're like, both of y'all doing this dastardly stuff. We can't trust nobody. And a longtime black man that's supposed to be kissing, the ring.
Hey, Reg, let's be honest. Clyburn hasn't been black since
since it's left the magic stop wearing the sashiki. Let's be true here.
But Professor, help me with that one, Professor.
Okay. The reality is that ain't nothing new. There have always been backroom deals and all this kind of stuff. You would be amazed at the people who know Uncle Jesse. And Uncle Jesse kept things straight.
Hey, make sure everybody know who you're talking about now, Professor.
Let me repeat something I've told y'all before that I'm not sure y'all believe it. About this time the last two nights, it's about time for it to start up again.
You're right.
You got soldiers who, remember, Fort Bragg is home of the airborne. The 82nd, special ops and all those kind of things, they fly out of Fort Bragg.
Yeah.
Guess what? Their planes are stationed in South Carolina and as far away as Arkansas.
Yes, sir.
What's that piece of sheep dip that's from South Carolina? He got the part of the air wing from here shipped to Charleston.
Oh, the Elf.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And again, for the air, remember what it was like when we were going to Saudi Arabia and all this kind of stuff. In 18 hours, we can have boots on the ground anywhere in the world. Remember we used to, and you being a former Marine, right, you used to know, when they go, at some point in time, the guys are going out of Cherry Point, going out of Kalamazoo, to whatever the Army can't take, y'all go take, and then hold it for them. You know how y'all do that stuff, okay? Having said that, look at the fact that you took away some of the highest paid people in the military. You took them out of Pinal-Cumberland County. And I'm talking about several thousand of these guys because they fly the plane, they shoot the plane, they're warrant officers, they're all the way up to flag officers. Okay?
Yeah.
Uncle Jesse kept them folks here. You didn't even, it was like Winston-Salem said, name being changed. Some things you don't even bring up. Why? Because you know better. Well, when he left the Senate, the weenies that took over, both of whom have gone their separate ways now. But you know, you don't have the wherewithal out there with people who are willing to do what's necessary or what's proper to make these things work. And because of that, you have this picking activity.
Okay.
We fly planes out of Goldsboro, out of the ocean, to meet planes coming back from across the ocean.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
We fly planes out of Goldsboro. For instance, if the when the spot planes and stuff, they don't take off loaded with fuel. They have enough to get off the ground and get 100 miles out. And a KC-135 will meet them out there, fuel them up fully. And then they go on their merry way, then to meet them on the way back. All these kind of things are out there, but we, like the people who didn't want Jesse, who didn't like Jesse, you know, we don't look at the whole picture all too often. And a lot of times the picture we see is what somebody is deluding you into supporting or not supporting certain things or certain people. Like I say, you know, I don't mind paying 10, 15 cents for something at Food Lion. Why? Because our food bank. I know my $30, $40, $2, $3, $4, whatever it is, ain't big a deal by itself, but it adds up. And we don't look at it. And unfortunately, go back to all those Black Wall Streets, you know, stores are closed, there's no cleaning. There's no cleaners in the Black neighborhoods now. You know, no grocery stores. And the thing they gave, our slang that was given to us was called food desert. That seemed directly at us. Because, see, where white folks live, they have grocery stores that are convenient. Really ones you got to go.
Yeah.
You know, really ones you got to take two connecting buses to go to a grocery store.
Yeah.
You know, really ones that got to go across town to a grocery store.
Some people grow groceries
in
the city.
It's just
the way it is.
Yep.
We got
and then
who does this?
Patrick,
what's
up,
fellas?
What's everybody doing?
What's up,
Reggie, I want to give you a little insight, and Tony's talking about it. And then I think Chris hit on why Snoop Dogg has evolved and reshaped himself. When Snoop Dogg got on the commercial with Lee Iacocca, that changed everything.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit.
And I'm not going to go into the story behind it, but I will say that if somebody got to talk to him, I think I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, that Snoop Dogg wanted to go into a lot of porn stuff, and somebody got to him, to the right people, and he landed up with a commercial with Lee Iacocca, and his career has changed because he's seen the other side of the world at times. And I respect the fact how he's marketed himself in a way that I never thought could happen, but just goes to show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you hear him talk now about some of the things he's doing, his vernacular, his thoughts, his rationale, it's a little bit different. He got money like he can bring it.
Well, I remember hearing him talk about how he, and I want to say it was a P. Diddy, and I want to say Tupac also took time to explain to him, no, you don't need to be wearing all that hip hop stuff. You need to put on a suit. You know, little things like that old people used to tell us, you know, go wear your best self. You know, it don't have to be great. It just got to be clean. Press it,
right.
All those kind of things. I saw him
I'm going to double up on what you said. What you said is correct, but it specifically says when you go in to get your money, you can't wear gold chains. You got to look at this.
Yeah.
You're correct.
Thank you.
You're correct.
Yeah.
So, you know, Gary Richardson told, when they drafted Cam Newton, one of the first things he told them, don't put pay. Leave the tats and keep them here. Okay? He didn't put the tats, and he kept his hair pretty squared away. But guess what? Look at him now. And see, after all that good advice, what's his approach now? Oh, they won't hire me. And he talked about how I know I'm not the 34th or 5th best quarterback in the NFL. You may not be.
Play the league.
But guess what? Look at them no talent white boys and how they dress and how they keep their hair. Take it here.
Appearances. You know, I know you don't have to be clean cut, but at the point you have to be available to be presentable in certain situations. So I'll put it that way.
Gentlemen, African Americans have to placate. What I mean is this. It was an African American woman on ABC News in Bay
Area.
Mm-hmm. To work in dreadlocks. They fired her. She went to court. And she won the court case. But guess what? She can't get a job.
That's right.
Anywhere.
You can ask the young man who used to play for San Francisco with a big bushy hair and who didn't kneel. He can't get a job.
The cap can do what
they won the battle, but they lost the war.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, because see, a lot of people typically are willing to pay you off, but you're going to be the only one who get paid. You get a gag order from the judge that you can't go out and talk about what you did, and you can't talk about how this really went down or this kind of thing. But it's just like certain things in our own community. Okay, we want certain things in our community a certain way, and we call it our culture, which is cool. But at the same time, though, we have to be mindful: are those things good for us? Can this translate once we? First of all, do we stand behind this strong enough to make sure that when we go out, it's going to work?
Right.
If we're not going to fully support it, you've heard people talk about, well, we like to go to HBCU football, the basketball game. Where are the free tickets? Are you working press? No. Is your child in the band, or is your child on one of the teams? No. Well, why do you deserve free tickets?
There you go.
Or Fred, more importantly, Fred, if you're an HBCU graduate, have you given to the Alumni Association?
See now you cussing.
That's what it boils down to. That's one of the big things that when people talk about PWIs and HBCUs, I can tell you from personal experience. They treat their universities, no matter where you're at, could be Michigan, could be Colorado, they treat those universities with a sacred approach. I know folk, there's a guy in Columbus who left, when he died, he left $10 million to school and only left $3 million to his family. I mean, that's not unusual for some of these big schools. So Fred, if somebody at Hampton, gave a nice PCA, you can get free tickets. But if you're not contributing nothing, come on.
Right.
Do you
all know what the term IPTE stands for? This is Clemson University. The IPTE club, I give 10 a year. This is something that was founded 30-some years ago. From Clemson that used to be the doormat of the ACC. Well, one of the new ADs came in, and because they didn't do like South Carolina. South Carolina left and went to, well, they were independent for a number of years. Then they finally went to the SEC. But Clemson stayed in the ACC because Clemson right down the road from Charlotte, so. You can be from my house. You can be there in 2.5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And what they did, they came up with a giving plan. And anyway, you should go anywhere in South Carolina, Southern North Carolina, and North Georgia, and over into Tennessee. You see these orange and white things say IPTE. I give 10 a year. Now, most of these people couldn't tell you where Clemson is, but they were given $10 a year. They couldn't find a school. They didn't know what they played. All they knew that they were providing support to Clemson mm-hmm. University.
Right.
And guess what? Clemson's endowment more than tripled in a matter of a few years.
Mm-hmm.
And for those who don't know, endowment is money making money. Why are you working on other things?
Yeah, money making money.
Remember the other year they were talking about how one school, their endowment was so big that for the next until further notice, they were taking in 400 doctors people in med school a year, and their endowment was so prosperous that they paid off. The students that were graduating that year, they paid off their debt.
Great.
And they turned around and said,
yeah.
We're not going to charge for the next 10 years.
That.
This was in Hampton. I want to say it was Columbia. It was in New York, New Jersey area.
Oh, it was in New York schools. All the med students in New York school. Yeah, Columbia. That's what it was.
It was Columbia.
Yeah.
And I say, you know.
Yeah.
I think only one HBCU is even close to $1 billion in endowment. There's roughly a half a dozen that are a half billion or more. And even though Mrs. Smith did a good job by paying off the debt for the union down at Morehouse. But, you know, think about it. That's just one man and that's one school.
One guy, yeah. Yeah, endowments, one day I'll tell you about, you know, how the endowments work at some of these places, because I was exposed to some meetings and affairs of them that
we can't say this much. With the limited time we got left, it's more than a notion to one, raising endowment money, two, making endowment money do what it's supposed to do, because it's enough to blow your mind. And the reality is, it's actually simple. It's just a matter of doing what you're supposed to do and being persistent at it.
Now I'm gonna tell you where unfortunately it's a game that a lot of smaller institutions can't play, no matter where you're at. And that's the game of how endowments cover for shells for tax purposes. One of the biggest ones is University of Miami. It's ridiculous what they do. I'm not gonna go into length about it, but it can really cover some stuff if they do. I mean, that's why one of the reasons that they thought they can pull off Tom Brady, because the guys who were before they secured with Tua, because Brady's guy that was doing it, who owns the Miami Dolphins, went to Michigan and hired him to his endowment, and Brady's going to be under that umbrella. But I'm not going to go too far on it. But that's how it happens. But what I do want to hit on,
Patrick, I got a quick question for you, Patrick. I know you're rolling, but here in the state of Virginia, I know you know about this professor. The high schools are now involved in the NIL, the likeness.
To me,
I think it's a bad move. What's going on up there, especially in Ohio, where you guys at? Are the high schools doing the same thing?
I can tell you what. Here's something that you need to watch. Somebody signed a big college signing this week. And he did. That was Boney James signed with USC, which I thought he was going to sign with USC in the first place, because he ain't going to go that way from his mama's cooking. And secondly, he got a $7.1 million endorsement in high school.
Who
here's the trick. Boney James,
guy?
LeBron James' son. He's going to USC.
I thought you already had that.
Now, here's the trick. Here's the trick with that now. That's why people say he's going, because they said, well, he might go to Ohio State either to visit or play when they go out there. He ain't going to Ohio State. He's going to be near his mama's cooking and his daddy. But here's the big trick you got to watch out for. From people I've talked to recently, he might be a benchmark to where NIL is going. You know why? You know the new president of the NCAA. I forgot this guy's name. He's working with the other backdoor guys in Washington to put a curb and structure NIL in a certain way. Boney James is at USC. Watch what he does with what his money and how it transpires over his time, because there's going to be some adjustments to that money to that guy, this new guy in the NCAA. It's going to be pointed not directly at him, but at that model.
Let's take that a step further. The state of North Carolina, with some of Reggie's favorite people, are putting forth legislation as we speak to control not only the NIL, but also the whole. They're trying to respect the whole high school athletics process as we speak. Now, several other proposals that they have made don't make a damn bit of sense, no way, but this is what they want to do. And because they have the numbers in the House and Senate, they don't have to adhere to worry about the governor's veto and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So what they do is they've taken initial steps to change the law. We have the North Carolina Athletic Association, High School Athletic Association. Way back in the day, they said, well, when they first started integrating, they said, we can't control the black schools. So they changed the rules. Now they're basically going back and saying, well, we can't control none of the schools. So they're changing the rules.
Mm-hmm. They can't control none of them Negroes. They're everywhere.
And Fred, what's happening, your point is taken in the sense that, I told you one of the things that led to these presidents, like the president N2QA, the kids in California who was offered $13 million by Miami, and they said, are you on crack? $13 million, they paid games. But they killed that. He's a number two recruit for this coming year as a quarterback. Matter of fact, he had considered Ohio State, but Ohio State wasn't paying. They ain't paying that. In that sense, some of these high schools are getting crazy. Now, here in Jersey, the guy who got the biggest deal was Wagner, who was going to Kentucky.
Oh, that's why your man down in Kentucky getting happy, Mr. Moonshine. He back his old trick.
Yes, indeed. But as a matter of fact, it's ironic. I'm having a show. I completed the structure show today. I'm having one of the guys, one of the major companies in New York who was IL, coming on my show within maybe 2 or 3 weeks. And he's going to talk about it, about what's going on to the extent, because it affects. Now, Georgia's a little different. And the only reason I say that is because our NILs have to deal with professional sports. So when you got places like, you know, where the college team is a pro sport, you can kind of stretch that out some. But if you, like here in the New York area, Jersey area, you got like 16 pro teams. Not that they can't afford it, but that money is basically spread differently and more equitably in terms of doing something with it. But this structure is being attacked and going to be attacked by some folks who can't afford to play the game. It all started, I told you 2 years ago, when California said, we're going to change our team, be tired of losing. What happened last year? They got a housing trouble win.
don't thank you.
And, by the way, speaking of how they're structuring NIL, they had a major meeting in Colorado about 2 weeks ago. A bunch of players came back to tell Dion how much money you need.
Uh-oh.
Coach Brown is
starting to find out the real world.
How much you need? Check that. This is not a Liberty Mutual commercial. How much you need?
Wait a minute. Patrick, you saying that the players or some boosters came and asked Brown how much you need?
Former players, I heard about the meeting. I saw a little bit of a Stewart,
Stewart has been up there for the last 3 months.
Yes, Stewart's
been there. Stewart's been there. Some other people. Some people I didn't know was even alive was there. I'm going, what? Because one of my boy's cousins in this hallway. I'm going, you got to be kidding me. That's not kidding me in that sense. But she has to because, you know, they're in a situation they're going to have to compete. So we'll see what happens.
They better get some fat boys in that line.
Yeah. He got to deal with it. Yeah, but
if they can make their midsections as big as their paychecks, you have a bunch of happy pappies. And that's what it's really about.
Hey, what's going on with Daniel Snyder and this deal with the Burgundy and Gold? What's going on with that? I heard now they want him to help him finance $200 million to try to push this thing across the finish line.
Oh, he'll do it. When you going to get $3.5 billion, what you want to make? Come on, man.
But what's the holdup? This thing should have been done. Every time we look, it's another problem.
Hey, a problem that'll be solved.
Man, it's a price. And the million-dollar man said everybody has a price.
It's called $3.5 billion.
I'm a net. What did he pay? What did he pay? Like $600 or $700 million in body fees, and going back to $3.5 billion. I'll tell you that.
He paid $800 million for the Redskins, and the team was
worth. Well, I know Magic Johnson's probably wondering, is my money gone?
He got to the pay window.
Okay, Patrick. Hey, Patrick. Schedule comes out tomorrow. Who the Jets playing first game?
I know one thing. They're gonna do something. That's the first time the NFL's ever done. They're gonna play on Black Friday.
Yeah,
I was told.
They making more money. They just don't care.
They
messing with Christmas already.
I tell you, it's not a bad idea.
It's a business trip.
In the New York area.
Lord help them overseas games in Germany, Poland. When they going to play in Africa? They play it anywhere else.
Don't count it out.
But that's a hell of a road trip in Africa. Brothers be going for that trip.
I told you about Germany 2 years ago. I mean to tell you, Germany is stable. The infrastructure had about 6 different levels of skill in their own Bundesliga, in their own amateur leagues. And you had teams in about 5 or 6 different German cities with NFL Europe was focusing strictly on getting boots and, like an expert would say, boots on the ground. Guys in jerseys because they're trying to make money with this. And they could have if they really wanted to. Now, they don't care. And they're still going to make money.
And Mike, don't count out. You don't think there's just a little competition between the NFL and the NBA for worldwide attention. Even though, and even the NBA has a lead now, but you know, NFL is an 800 mile gorilla for sports in this country. Don't think this is
right.
We can pick from that tree too.
Hey, number one best sport, NFL. Look at the bet.
Yep. Well, I told Mike a number this afternoon. The number came out from the money from 2018 when they first initiated to let betting go through all channels.
Yeah.
The number is $220 billion they made in the last 5 years.
Not million. Billion.
What a B.
Jesus Christ. That's criminal.
Sooner or later, that's just real money.
And nobody, you know what it ain't? Because there's so much tax money the government's getting. You can have fan due, old due, I don't care. We're going to get a piece of that. That's why they don't care.
That's right.
Hey, what about this XFL championship game that's coming up Saturday? They're going to be putting some big money on that? Yeah, shout out to Coach Reggie Barlow.
you know, for the championship game, HBCU stand up?
Because of football, everybody's making money. USFL is making plenty before. They're making nickels and dimes now. And this is minor, this is considered minor league football. So think about by the time we get to the end of the year, the NFL's in full swing. We got revenue strings working everywhere. And you're going to Vegas. You
yes,
know,
Lord.
Vegas will be rich by then.
Lord,
and Oakland
the Super Bowl in Vegas. Lord have mercy.
Yeah.
It's all girls.
Every whole convention
in
America is going to be out there.
What about sex trafficking that week? Lord have mercy.
Lord.
They got to worry about the pussies being grabbed. They'll be grabbed, all right. They'll be grabbed so many times. Shit, you won't even know the shit was there.
I haven't heard anybody hear what happened to Michael Irvin lately. I haven't heard anything about it. I know that. I think he's going to be cleared.
What happened?
I think he's going to be cleared because that
he ought to be. Could have been awful quiet about it.
Yep. I think he's going to be cleared.
What is he? Are they selling out of court now?
I think they're trying to get to court now because that was a sham that Bird put on him. You see, let me give you a perfect example of what happens for most people. If you're a celebrity of that nature, if somebody approaches you, you would have somebody with you and say, excuse me, wait a minute. That's what you have done. Come on, man. Come on. What do you want to talk about? That's
run interference for you, yeah.
That
Michael,
no,
Michael stays so drunk, he can't remember half the time.
Yeah. Hey,
I'm not being funny when I say this, but Michael, he be partying so much, he don't even remember what the hell he be doing. One time he wore the same suit on the set the same damn day, back to back.
Mm-hmm. So, hey, it happens.
Mm-hmm. Say what you please. I always appreciated the rule that Billy Graham always had. When he attended functions, he always had two men with him at all times. Why? Because stuff, as they say, stuff happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's the same thing, Fred. It's the same. I've seen it. I mean, when I was doing entertainment, you know, we had Jane. When you talk to Jane Brown, I had to talk to James Brown about something. He said, I understand, my brother. Two guys came in. Now let's talk about it. It wasn't to try to engage. He wanted to let three people hear it. And that's, I understand that, you know. So I wish him the best because he got railroaded big time. You know.
I wish him the best because he's supposed to be a black man. The fact that he played for the Cowboys. Even that, I would still prefer to see him not go on to that work.
Mm.
We've seen this shit before, haven't too many times. Mm-hmm. I mean, Emmett Till was killed behind shit like this, the Black Wall Street, because of bullshit like that. That's why, and don't give me something with down in Florida, what happened down there. They try to wipe that off the fucking map. Excuse me, Professor, for the language, but. I mean, Rosewood.
Hey,
man, we done seen this act before.
Please.
It's worse than a Shakespeare play.
Hey, you know, some places, you know, I'm with you. You know, you just got to cut some folks out because the time to be tepid is over when the devastation is going to be to that level. You got to let folks know.
Well, also, gentlemen, in the Constitution, it says, if anybody is involved in rebellion or insurrection, he cannot run for office. I don't understand how the Republican Party is not saying, hey, you can't run for president because you're a rebellion.
Professor. Help him out, Professor. Help him out, Professor. Help him out, Professor.
Aaron, that thou shalt not nitpick. What is your definition of insurrection?
It says in the Constitution you can't do that.
Gary, you got to remember. Certain definitions have changed in the last 400 years.
Yep. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
It's called white privilege.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's start out with the right to bear arms. What is an arm?
A musket. AK-40.
It was a musket.
A musket. A musket. You know, and think about it. Well, what most people think about is this: the people who wrote that into the Second Amendment, if they had seen what just a simple six shooter would do, they would probably, if they saw that at work, they would probably pass out. Because remember, they had muskets and musket pistols. It took you 20 to 25 seconds to shoot and reload.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
Well, Fred, they wouldn't care.
They're doing a gentlemanly way.
Boys, they wouldn't care. They wouldn't care. As long as he was white and one of their boys, they wouldn't care.
Yep. God has ever saw AR-15. But I digress.
The Lord, have mercy. Have mercy.
But meanwhile, to go back to our original theme, we find that they don't mind pandering to black interests if they get something out of it. What I don't like is how disrespectful black wallets are treated. Black consumers get no love, and they're willing to play this stupid cartoon music over the fact that goods and services are worth millions in the black community, but yet they will not have them there.
Mike, you still realize the most important thing, Mike, they don't give a damn.
Right. Until we demand respect.
Mm-hmm.
I guess 1977, we don't go color. Look, if you don't have black representatives, we ain't buying coke.
Well, what does it say when the black mayor of New York said the guy, the Marine, that choked out the black man for 15 minutes, he didn't think it was a murder? You know, here we go again.
It's because he had that blue shield moment.
Yep.
And once again, the black woman has to step up.
But the guy's going to get arrested. He's going to get arrested. He'll probably go free, but they're going to go to the ritual, but he's probably going to go free. They're going to go with you. Because he got murdered. He got murdered. You know, they'll go for the ritual.
That was George Floyd all over again with an accent. I mean, 15 minutes? Really?
George Floyd.
It's the way the media is. That's the way they're playing it.
Welcome to America, Gary. Welcome to America.
And justice for all, except
She can see through that blindfold, right, Mike?
That bitch was blind. They pretend that bitch is blind.
Mike, she can see through that fucking blindfold.
She can peek through the fucking blindfold. That's no lie. That's no lie. But I ask, Gary, what's it like to live in a ghost town? Because Oakland will be a ghost town inside
of
this one.
Not only got announcers saying nigger league, they'll be all right. And the Klan will be just fine. We're in the nigger league. Great barbecue and nigger league. Hey, they'll do just fine, Gary. Keep it a good work with the announcers.
People are leaving here in droves, Michael.
I know.
Vegas is what, 4 hours away? How long did it drive from that to Vegas?
Nevada, Utah, Arizona, and we're going.
Wow. Because Gary, you heard what happened. I told Mike, you heard what happened today, don't you? Well, you probably already know it, right?
What, this
you probably heard this already, that Las Vegas already secured the money for the new stadium, baseball stadium in Las Vegas.
Oh,
hell yeah.
Don't get me started.
See, Gary won't be able to sleep tonight.
We're okay.
Hey, Gary, don't worry. The possums are in the press room. I'll keep them busy.
Beautiful.
Good job.
Another ballpark in downtown Las Vegas on the strip because they couldn't guarantee the other stadium. What are the Major League Baseball doing?
It'll be in Las Vegas. It's coming. It's the Las Vegas A's.
Yeah.
Hey, Elvis
when you need him. Viva Las Vegas.
Yeah. Raiders, the A's.
And they're already NBA thinking about two cities, Seattle and guess where else? Las Vegas.
Now they need to give it to Seattle. Seattle deserves it.
Yep.
And Nashville, right?
Well, Nashville might be fair, but I do know of Las Vegas and definitely Seattle. Yeah. Seattle will be next, but don't be surprised if some teams say they can't get a good deal for a stadium or arena and they're going to be gone.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It's going to happen soon, but it's in the thoughts. The ironic thing was
they gave Seattle shit because Seattle said, we're going to take that money that we were going to save on this new stadium for things like, schools, stuff like that. And they said, thank you, sir. No.
Bye.
Really.
Bye. See you later.
They said, through the schools.
And the mayor doesn't be careful. They can lose the
Golden State Warriors.
I would imagine.
Just get Golden State a brand new facility.
Yeah, but you wait 10 years.
Hell, if I be still alive 10 years, I'd be happy. Shit. Yeah, I'm going to make the Lakers, bro. Come on. 10 years. Shit. If I can go 5 more years, I'd be happy. Hey. Tell me, you start seeing 60 and everything. You start to say, whoa, time's starting to move a little too quick here. When I was 15, I wish time would fly. 64, I'm like, damn, time, slow down. Shit. It's May already. It's coming June. Where the hell did these 6 months go? I'm like, damn, what happened?
Didn't we just have Mother's Day last month?
Yeah. It's coming this week. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 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 That's right. It is coming this week. And don't forget, get your carnations ready. You know, white carnation, if your mother is no longer on this mortal coil, and the red one
Both of mine made their transition. So I can say, hey, God bless.
I'm gonna throw something out. Keep watch. I don't know you guys don't know watch keep up a lot of track, but there's a young man named Quincy Wilson. One of the local track guys told me about it. I'm going, everybody goes to Penn Relays. You know, it's always good. I can never make it because it's always the weekend of my birthday. I never go down there.
Yep, mine too.
But
yep.
This kid, Quincy Wilson, they said, check out this YouTube video. I said, okay. And I saw a 440 guy, the kid from Jamaica was about like 6'4", looking like he's a carbon copy of Monique Bowl. And all of a sudden, in the backstretch, I see somebody running.
Yeah.
And he's like maybe 5'9". And he catches the brother and beats him at the tape. I'm going, oh, maybe the brother got tired. Then I see him run again and 100 and take off. I'm going, what kind of – then I got some information.
Uh-oh.
Keep your eyes kicking. He's only 15 years old.
Oh, shit.
15 years old. Quincy Wilson.
Where he from?
I think he's from Virginia. He's from Virginia or Pennsylvania. I forgot where he's from. But
I guess he can get him an NIL deal.
Now, that young man needs one. And guess what? He's just going to be a freshman in high school.
Somebody going to be picking him up.
Unbelievable. I watched the video like 3 times going, I said, what in the hell? And after the man, I had to go cover a track meet in Jersey. For local track, I'm preaching a young lady.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw him going, I said, was something talking about this guy. I said, I knew it. Patrick, I had to tell you. He is something else. Damn. Yes.
How much did the Knicks win by tonight? What was the final score?
By 7, I think. Yeah.
Who are they playing?
And guess who was happy they won? James Dolan. He was happy they won.
You know
he
was
yelling for another week or so. You know.
Well, at least they make good money in the garden today. Make good money in the garden.
Yeah,
they
got
be back
the most overrated building in sports. And what you wouldn't go there. That building is, it's overrated.
Hey, the mice are protesting. How dare you? The rats and the mice are saying, stop talking about us.
No shit. That said, you need to cut me a break.
You're talking all that stuff about basketball and all that kind of stuff. Here in North Carolina, we're celebrating the Carolina Hurricanes. Yeah, we got to win one more game before we move to the next level.
Hey, people in Boston don't like that.
and yes, we know more about them than we do the Charlotte Hornets. Okay,
that's true. You won one Stanley Cup, didn't you? Back in the day, you won a Stanley Cup.
Yes, we did.
And they get ready to do it again.
And the Charlotte Hornets haven't even won their division.
I think Michael Jordan breaking camp. He's getting away from it.
Well, Michael, unfortunately, Michael is somewhat spoiled because he's never had to be on the building side.
Michael Jordan. No.
The only time he's ever played on a team that was quote-unquote truly down was when he was with the Wizards. He went to a decent situation. At Chicago, first of all, he went to Laney High School near North Carolina, which was so-so, but he was on the upswing at the time. He went to Carolina. They were already established. They'd won a national championship or two, and they were already established. Dean Smith was doing what Dean Smith did, okay? He leaves there, goes to Chicago. Now, listen to what I'm saying. They went to some small schools and got some really good guys to put out there with him, and he won a few NBA championships. So the only time he was ever truly down was either when he was playing baseball or with the Wizards. And he's not willing to do what it takes to build a franchise team because, unfortunately, it takes work. It takes insight.
Fred fired his ass, so he said he ain't done shit here.
So Fred, is it not willing to work, or he hasn't been in a position to get the right people?
Well,
he got a bunch of just people around him.
See, here's the thing. If you want to have people, Jerry Jones got people around him, but he tell them what to do. He don't listen to what they say. Michael's a similar situation. Just because I played real good, that means I know how to play the game and how to do. You know, you don't hire people that you don't listen to.
Yeah, that's true.
Jerry Jones won his last.
Jerry ain't won shit since then, has he?
When was the last time he even went to a Super Bowl and didn't have to pay to get in?
What about a playoff? Well, just go to the playoff game. Yeah, this way Jack Prescott be hanging by a rope after last year. He was pissed. The Negro didn't play. What's wrong with him? Jalen Hurts played like good Negro. Why this Negro couldn't play that way?
If you don't want a quarterback that's 89 and 67 over his career that he found, well, that tells you everything you need to know about certain teams in the league. Bottom line.
Trust me. If you could have a little white, he would have played him. Tony Romo.
Michael,
yeah.
When it comes to white folks and their money,
yep.
They are very, quote unquote, conservative to a certain degree. At the same time, though, they think their money will always talk to them. They don't have to listen to Negroes, no matter how right the Negro may be.
You
find that a lot of times they know they're wrong, and still a woman will sacrifice some money. Just not to listen to certain Negroes.
Yeah, you're right about that. On that note, we got to go to final thoughts. Reggie, drop some knowledge on us.
Oh, real quick, I know we're going to final thought, but Patrick, real quick, help me with Lamar Jackson with the stunt he pulled and the conservatives pissed off. How much do you think that's going to move players to go another direction? How is that going to help Lamar Jackson?
Lamar got guaranteed money. Lamar got guaranteed money. Remember, he got his guaranteed money, but guess what? How many endorsements he got? Case
none. Hey, that's
but
why
he got guaranteed
the
money. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. This past week, we had a rapist that was convicted, even though the statute of limitations said the treasonous individual grabbed a you-know-what. But, hey, you know. White privilege, what can we say? But
that's
the thing that really disturbs me again, as I said before, is how in the ham sandwich can we look at, as Gary pointed out, a rapist and a treasonous individual be the number one person that the party still wants to represent them? But then old James Clyburn does what I know he's going to do, be a good Negro and be up there and look out for himself and not his constituents. So when you tell young folks to go out and vote, you better have a damn good reason to tell them, because guess what they're going to tell you? Kiss my black ass, because both parties ain't shit. Just my opinion.
Hmm. Yeah, you're right about that. Hmm. Patrick.
You know, by the way, Fred, Pirates are still hanging in. They're hanging in. I'm a long-term baseball fan from the love of my dad, who I miss every day. And I bleed Dodger blue all the time. But
amen.
I love Willie Mays. Willie Mays had a birthday recently. We should cherish every moment he's still alive.
How old is he?
We talk about
800 or 900 years old.
I think he's 91.
91?
Okay. And rest in peace, Vida Blue. God bless Vida. Rest in peace.
Yes. Oh, man. That messed me up. It was a magical season, man.
Magical season.
Magical season. But Willie Mays, Let's share with everyone that he's still with us.
God bless.
God bless. Professor.
Well, I had a good day working at home today because somehow or another, after I went to bed last night, I tweaked my knee and it got stiff. But I'm still working on the HBC Heritage Center. We're doing profiles of outstanding HBC graduates. Don't worry, Richard. We're not telling you as one of them. But anyway.
That's messed up.
You know, but it is so interesting. It is so interesting to look at some of these people to where they came from and how they got to where we now, say, we count them among our elders, and how some of them had next to nothing. And, you know, like a friend of mine, Mr. Moore, and I used to talk and say, you know, how many people that we knew that they said that only one school of all the schools they applied to, that one HBCU was the only one that wrote them back. And, you know, we all know goo gobs of them simply because that's the circle we run in. But, you know, this is taking a lot longer than I ever expected. But as I go through the process, I'm going to work a couple more hours tonight on it, and then I'm going to take me some drugs and go to sleep. But anyway, it is still refreshing to look at the background of some of these people that, you know, and more of them are being cited in the public because, you know, who would have thought that somebody like, Araji Benson, you know, she was actually rejected several times. Then she went on to do movies and TV. Mm-hmm. And so many others are just like that. You know, unfortunately, the man who played in the Black Panther, he actually passed on because he had cancer. But then there's those other stories out there where people just did what they knew to do, did the best they knew to do. Yeah. And, you know, God bless what they did and everything. Wow. I can still be reached at ZachHeritageReview.com. And I'm also on Facebook. I'm actually on Twitter, but I don't know how to make it work. So I'm just here with Facebook.
Go to Guam.
Baby steps. Blackhead. www.blackheadreview.com. Black stuff when in doubt. Gary.
Gary, y'all done messed Gary up.
Okay. Trial by police. Every director is honored. They can win a couple games. So we're going to see a Canadian in the semifinals. This year, we will see Graham Cove, Saturday will be Mother's Day special, 4 o'clock Pacific.
Okay, man.
7 in the East, Mother's Day special.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes. Remember, Mom, Mother Ma Gray, Mother Ma, and all the mothers out there, mamas, big mamas, everybody. Who helps keep us going and keep some sunshine on your face. I think that's what it's saying.
Sure. Right. Yeah. Thanks, man. I'll get back at you. The same gentleman that's made the pickup last year is going to make it this year, Mr. Richie Vinto. Vera. I want you to put somebody on him.
All right, sugar.
You got a girl who can turn him out?
I have got a girl whose pussy is so good, if you threw it up in the air, it would turn into sunshine.
Lord, have mercy.
Well, I don't want to meet her.
I do.
Richie.
My man, Red Fox.
I think I'm falling in love with you.
In love with you.
Hey, put your mama on the phone.
Yeah, give me Hollycourt, 55377. Hello, it's Daddy. Hey, darling, put Mommy on the phone. Yeah, Barbara, it's Richie. Yeah, look, it, I ain't never coming home no more. Take it easy.
The video you're about to see is in no form or fashion degrading any women. We only repeat what Donald Trump said. We feel like this. Vote for Hillary Clinton.
And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab him by the pussy.
Oh, don't vote for Donald. He will grab you by the pussy. He will grab you by the pussy. You stop it. Grab you by the pussy. He will grab you by the pussy.
Talking to you now, lady.
Grab you by the pussy.
Yeah, yeah.
Grab you by the pussy.
Don't vote for him. He'll
grab you by the pussy.
One more time, yeah.
Grab you by the pussy.
Oh God, that's just wrong.